Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSB Magazine. Every company has a story to tell, from the small startup to the large enterprise, and everything in between. This is one of them. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
All right, Marco, here we are.
Sean, you want to talk about the truth?
The truth is staring us in the face.
It's always a delicate topic. But you know what never lies are the logs. Logs never lie.
Logs never lie. They're full of answers. If we only know where to look, and I guess the first point is, can you actually access them? and then make sense of them.
Well, we're definitely going to go into that in this conversation. I'm excited to tell these stories. It's a series of five different stories, and is with our friends Devo, and they created this campaign, which it's really funny. They make a little bit of fun of the industry in a very creative way, I'd say. And the idea is about the log's honest truth. And I'm going to go with, again, they don't lie, but sometimes they're really hard to read. And quantity and quality is not exactly the same thing. So it's good to have a lot of logs, but also create a lot of problem.
Exactly. And I think that that's kind of the gist of the series of these videos is Devo has had a number of conversations with customers. And I think we have this problem in the industry where we don't like to talk about the bad things that happen. And I think that rolls all the way down to analyzing our logs. And in these videos, I think, as you mentioned, Marco, there's a bit of fun poking, but with jokes often comes truth, right? There's always a thread of truth in the jokes. And we're going to talk about one particular story that came from at least one customer. And we have Jason Michael on to talk to us about Confessions of an InfoSec Consultant. Jason, good to have you on.
Nice to be here, guys. Thanks for having me.
And so a quick intro to this role and the confessions with respect to an InfoSec consultant. What did you hear?
Well, the challenge that the consultants are dealing with nowadays is that when they go in to help organizations deploy their cybersecurity posture, you know, they take a first glance at their attack surface and the wide variety of data sources that they have in their ecosystem. And when they're trying to help streamline, you know, what should you collect, what shouldn't you collect, what's important, what's not, it always comes down to the equation is you collect everything. You need visibility into everything that could potentially be used as a weapon in your organization. But then depending on the technology that they have in place, the consultant always has to take a step back saying, well, you know, we can't really handle all of this with the technology that you have. So we need to pick and choose what are the most optimal ones because the product that you're utilizing today just can't handle everything. So now the customer has to make a decision, okay, what's the most important log sources, you know, the have-to-haves versus the nice-to-haves. But being a practitioner that I've been for many years, there's everything is a have-to-have. I can't tell you how many times that I've had to go and ask for manual logs because it wasn't available in the SIM or the log management tool because it couldn't handle it, which always slows down an investigation or an incident response.
So are you telling me that 4 blades are no better than 3 and 6 are no better than 5? Like the quantity is what really matters?
Yeah, right?
Yeah. It creates
the
a lot of noise.
We say, we can handle it. Throw more blades at it, you know? And then all of a sudden, now the architect and the administrators are getting overwhelmed and overloaded because the management of that becomes a nightmare.
Right. And I think the great part about this idea of getting this confession from the practitioner is that sometimes you're locked into a system as a consultant, for example, in this case, you're kind of forced to use with that is given to you. right? Whatever the company is using or what the client is using. And so the fact that you're able to poke a little bit of fun in this, but hear the truth for the people that actually are using the tools and how they would want to make it better. So that's what we really want to hear. Like, what are the improvements that can be done?
Well, the biggest thing is, you know, the next generation of log management and security analytics, it's got to use the horsepower of the cloud, right? Because you just made a great statement, Marcos. Oh, we can handle it. Let's throw more blades at it or more hardware at it. The nice thing about the cloud is that's not something that is necessary, right? It's all virtual. So spinning up more resources to handle the necessary requirements is a very easy task to accomplish, right? And it's not having to manage, you know, all the hardware and all the things that come along with that. So, you know, moving and migrating to the cloud is definitely things that the security consultants are trying to push the user community to say, take advantage of a SaaS solution, because no one wants to have to deal with, when they're security operators, making sure the technology that they're depending on is there and usable. Is it going to respond when I ask it for something? Or do I have to open tickets because I can't even log into it because it's overwhelmed and overloaded with all these data sources that I just threw at it? So, you know, that is a big push that the consultants are going to the user community of, why waste your time dealing with the back end? Just have access to the user interface so when you need it, it's there, and ask the questions when you have to.
I want to go back to the data points for a minute, Jason, because you said they have to prioritize what they can collect and analyze, presumably through a cloud deployment that kind of frees some of those restrictions and gives them the ability to collect more. So I'm wondering two things. One, what have you seen organizations, perhaps through these confessions even, where they haven't been able to collect and now they can, and perhaps even a connection to data sources such as threat intelligence feeds that provide some additional context to help make some decisions. So what have they been missing that can they do now, and does threat intelligence feed into that as well?
It absolutely does. So one of the big things that has really exploded for data visibility and incident response information is EDR data. Endpoint detection and response platforms just collect and store and gather an enormous amount of information. And a lot of it is critical for the incident responders or the SOC analysts. But unfortunately, with the legacy tools, they've had to make determinations of, well, maybe I'm only going to bring in the alerts from these EDRs because I can't handle the full context that these tools can capture. But now they're scrambling when they get the alert that's in their SIM and they need the additional context. So now they're having to pivot and ask more questions, go into different user interfaces to gather the data that should be already in that SIM. So that's one piece of the equation, is EDRs just exploded that footprint. Now, to your point, on top of that is, it's one thing to have alerts, but threat intelligence also generates a lot more noise as well, right? So there's a lot of things that technologies don't really streamline of the management of the threat intelligence. Because if you look at the viability or the scalability of threat intelligence, is a management nightmare. You get a lot of duplicate records. So deduping that information is a constant management stream. You have the validity of that information. Like, a lot of those threat indicators that maybe are uncovered from a situation only have about a 72-hour shelf life. So if you're constantly firing alerts that are from a IP address or something that was used 6 months ago, the false positive ratios come through the roof. And these analysts are chasing their tail saying, oh, I'm hit with this actor that seems like it's new, but it's not even being used by the community anymore because, you know, they know that they have to change their tactics and techniques on a regular basis to subvert detections. So that's a big, big challenge for threat intelligence management. But if you can streamline that and operationalize that data and make it truly weaponized, the ability to not only use that for detections and triggering of alerts, that's critical, but also to automate the additional context. So if I receive an alert, let's say from an EDR technology like I was just referring to, having threat intelligence as a weapon to be able to operationalize your SIM to say, go and grab everything else known in the wild about these actors that my EDR just kind of bubbled up to me without having me copy and paste and do Google searches and go into 16 other websites to try and grab that context. Every minute that goes by that I have to do that, more damage could be potentially caused in my organization.
And Jason, one thing that comes to mind, and it's very human, it's the importance of visualizing all of this. And I know that's one thing that Devo does really well. It's a human need to make sense out of chaos and a lot of filtering, so much information. The time and the mind resources that it can save to have an equal valuable visualization of the filters that you apply to this. So can you talk us a little bit about this and how a consultant to deal with all these different input can be very, very much help by this?
Absolutely. Again, the more data, the better, right? So if I have I just received a Christmas present of a puzzle, you know, that I just got under the tree. I could see the picture of what the puzzle's supposed to look like, but I open the box and I've got thousands of these little pieces, right? And I've got if you say you're a true puzzler, you're not supposed to look at the picture. You're supposed to just build the puzzle. Well, that's what we're up against as incident responders. We can't see the big picture. We just see all these pieces and we got to try and build the picture. And I always like to use the analogy of, you know, that picture paints 1,000 words. I've always been someone that would prefer to go to a movie theater and see a car explode than open a book and read the sentence, the car explodes. I get more instant gratification and I get more impact by watching the car explode than reading the car just exploded. So if I put these in simplistic workflows, you know, if I have technologies that could gather all those puzzle pieces for me, put them together as much as physically possible, and then produce the picture as much as possible for me, that is saving me a significant amount of pain and potential damage to my organization.
Yeah, and Jason, this is all in the context of a security consultant working with presumably many organizations of different sizes across different industry sectors. And just as we want to have context from a threat intelligence feed and as much info as we can from all the systems within the organization, you also have to, as a security consultant, kind of map this directly to an organization, right? No organization is the same. No organization is dealing with the same threats. They don't have the same business model, which ultimately it all boils down to, how do you enable the business? How do you leverage the data you have, the context you have, the threat intelligence you have, and your business data?
It's a very good question. And that's always the first step in the journey is, you know, what is those business use cases? What is your vertical that you're in? Because if I'm in financial, it's going to be completely different than telco or whatever the vertical market might be. I may have different intellectual property that I have to protect, whether it's my brand, it's my product source code, whatever the scenario might be there. So you've got to make a decision of what are the, you know, the crown jewels I'm protecting first and foremost. And then you need to drill down in and double click into that scenario of, okay, here's what I'm trying to protect. What assets hold that piece of those crown jewels? And then what log sources or what information am I gathering or can I gather from these technologies or sources? So when, as a consultant, you have to first and foremost try and figure out and determine, what am I protecting? What do I have in my arsenal to protect that? And then how do I weaponize this arsenal to truly streamline when I'm getting a notification from all these pieces that it's truly something that I need to know about, not just it might, it's nice to know about. Because, as you know, as an organization, yes, I have to have visibility into my key performance indicators and making sure I'm meeting my goals and objectives. But from a cybersecurity consultant, there's a lot of different variables. It's, is my technology up and running? Is it providing me the visibility that I need? Do I get the return on the investment that I made within it? There's a lot of different factors as a consultant I have to take into that equation to make sure that this organization is truly streamlined.
And you know, no confession is ever going to be the same, right? So according to the industry you're in, the needs you have, the maturity of your company, the anything really, like what the specific goal you have in mind at the time, if you can't filter through the noise and really get the data that you need, you're not going to be able to do the right job, and then you're going to get stressed out and burnout, which we know Absolutely. In the industry happen a so little true. Too much. So I think that this idea of this campaign, even if it doesn't tell the million stories that we could hear, at least they go in, you guys go in and tell at least five different perspectives from different cybersecurity professionals. And of course, we invite everybody to listen to each one of this conversation and you go in depth with us when we talk with you guys. And in this case, Sean, I think the idea is to invite people to learn a little bit more and even have fun and watch that video that we're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess the first step in most cases for things like this is recognition that there's a potential for change for good, right? And that perhaps hearing somebody else's stories will help you yourself realize that, you know, I've been dealing with that same problem myself. And even if I don't have the answer today, at least I recognize that I can take some steps to find what that is. And I think what we talked about today from a security consultant perspective is that we need to have something that's scalable to handle the data feeds we have. We shouldn't make priority cuts just because our systems can't handle it. And I think a cloud plays a big part in that because you can't just collect it all. You also have to analyze it and be able to find what you're looking for in it. And that kind of leads to the visualization of what matters for the business, right? So it's not about the security consultant, just it's about what they are doing to enable the business. And those are the decisions that matter. And you need the data to make those decisions and you need to make them quickly.
Well, more data for sure, but not just for the sake of it, right? You need also more clarity and you need more confidence when you look at those data.
Yes. Well, Jason, it's always good to catch up with you. And thanks for sharing this confession with us and our listeners. And we hope folks learn and gain some insight from this. And there are other confessions. And of course, if you want to see the videos and listen to this series, you can find those in their story on itspmagazine.com. You can also go to logshonesttruth.com. Stay tuned.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you having me again. Good seeing you.
Always great to see you, Jason.
We hope you enjoyed this conversation. If you learned something new and the story made you think, then share itspmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.